This is Your Call. I'm Rose Aguilar. Coming up tomorrow, we are going to talk about the climate crisis. We are just seeing so many wildfires in California. We hit all-time highs in so many cities up and down the state over the weekend. And so we're going to talk about what we need to actually tackle this ongoing climate crisis. Thursday, we'll give you an update on COVID. We're going to open the lines just to find out how you're doing, if you have lost anyone to COVID, if you have had COVID. We're going to talk about the recovery, the long-term health effects. And then on Friday, we will talk about voting. Ballots have been sent out in North Carolina. It is starting. So we're going to talk about what it will take to ensure that all ballots are received on time and counted. If you have a show idea or a guest idea, we'd love to actually hear from you. How would you like us to cover the election? There's only 56 days left. You can email yourcall@kalw.org. Well, over the last couple of months, we have been covering the Garment Worker Protection Act. It's Senate Bill 1399, and it would have guaranteed California's minimum wage to the state's 45,000 garment workers. Most of these workers are immigrants. They work 10 to 12 hours a day. They make clothing for some of the top brands in the world, and they make as little as $150 a week. Well, last week, the bill failed to make it out of the California Assembly. It was not called for a vote, and the clock ran out after the session ended. Joining us to talk about what happened is Marissa Nuncio, director of the Garment Worker Center. Hi, Marissa. Thanks again for joining us.
Thank you for having me. Good to be on.
Well, yeah, it's great to have you. What a disappointment. What happened? Why wasn't the bill called for a vote last week?
Yeah, it is definitely a disappointment. There were 3 days of a floor session in the Assembly in which bills were being called to vote. And this is the stage we were at. It was essentially the last step before the last major step before going to the governor's desk. If we'd been called to a vote and been successful, we would have then gone to the governor's desk. You know, I think there were a combination of factors. The legislative season has been pretty shortened and crazy and kind of unpredictable given the pandemic and given long recesses that the legislature had to take because of the pandemic. That was a factor. In the days of the floor session, both the Senate and the Assembly were in session. And, you know, I think there were more bills to be voted on than time, to hear them all. And so that was a factor. It was also a factor that there were a lot of politics happening and sort of, debates and fights over bills happening that delayed things. And, you know, the reality is, you know, some of those factors were, you know, they were just happening. They were just part of the legislative process. But there is also, you know, a real factor that some bills were prioritized to, be called to the floor and be called to a vote, and others were not, and ours was not. And that's frustrating. You know, I think there is it's a combination of just a really tough legislative system session and not enough time, but also just very frankly that, that our bill and garment workers and our issues, they were not prioritized. And that is definitely how workers felt. You know, they watched the Assembly floor session for 3 days on a Zoom watch party. They waited until midnight this last Sunday, to hear their bill be voted on. And when it wasn't, they said, well, that's nothing new. They never prioritize us. Mm. Skipping a beat, they also said, we have to make them. We have to make them listen, and we have to make them prioritize us, and we will bring this bill forward again. Inspiring.
Just remind us, Marissa, because we've had you on several times over the last couple months, The first two shows, we got a lot of comments from people saying, I didn't know that 45,000 garment workers mm-hmm. were making clothing for some of the top brands in Los Angeles. And they definitely didn't know that they work 10 to 12 hours a day and make as little as $150 a week. So just remind us of, you know, this is really difficult work. The pay is really low. And we're talking about multi-million and sometimes multi-billion dollar corporations here.
That's right. Yeah, that's absolutely right. Los Angeles is home to the garment production capital of the entire U.S. If something says made in the USA, most likely it was made in California, in Los Angeles. And unfortunately, it's also the sweatshop capital of the U.S. apparel industry. And you're right, workers are earning sweatshop wages. They are earning an average of $6 an hour, sometimes far less. They're earning only by the piece rate, which means that you are paid only for what you sew, like per operation, like per seam that you sew or per, you know, garment that you press. And those piece rates are so low, 3 cents, 5 cents, that the minimum wage is always out of reach for workers. And so what our bill, SB 1389, aimed to do was eliminate that piece rate system. Just do away with it. It's exploitative. It's archaic. It's been in place for over 100 years in this industry, and it's time to get rid of it where it is not working for workers. They have no control over the piece rate. And then the bill also aimed to expand liability for unpaid wages and allow workers to bring forward a wage claim against their factory boss up to the fashion brands. And we did that because the fashion brands have a key role in the wages that are paid to workers down the supply chain. It's been demonstrated through labor studies that fashion brands are simply not paying enough for the labor that is required to produce their goods. They're simply not paying enough for their orders to enable factory owners to comply with minimum wage and overtime. But yet they're not legally liable for that. And that's sort of outrageous that they can create the situation and walk away from it at the same time. So that's what our bill was aiming to do. I want to make one thing really clear. We weren't called to a vote, but we didn't lose by a vote. And I think that's a really important distinction. Mm. Had we been called to a vote, we would have won. We had the vote. We know that, but all the work we did to meet with legislators, to talk to them, to educate them on the industry and to hear their concerns, we rallied business around this bill and had the support of over 55 businesses in support of this. We said, I want a level playing field. We had the vote and we would have won. And so I think that's really important because folks should know that this campaign is not over
How are the workers doing?
Our members are so they're just fierce, you know, and, you know, they definitely, we talked about it right after, you know, the failure to call us to vote. We had a member meeting this weekend, and there is a lot of disappointment. There is a lot of frustration, a lot of, it affirms for them. The failure to call this bill to a vote affirms for our members that the government is not paying attention to them. Mm. It is not taking them into account and not prioritizing them. It affirmed that for them. At the same time, you know, they spent the entirety of 2 hours this Saturday of our membership meeting planning for the next leg of this fight, what they would do to build membership even, bigger, to grow our membership, what they would do to rally more business, what they would do to get the word out amongst the community. It was kind of amazing. They just, again, they didn't skip a beat. You know, they just said, this doesn't end. We just have to fight harder. And so that is inspiring. That is really inspiring. It's only 3 months away that we can, reintroduce a bill, a little over 3 months, and they're ready to do it. They're ready to do it.
How are they doing during COVID? Because we're talking about $150 a week in a state like California. There's no way you can make it on that. And then last time we had you on, we talked about the COVID outbreak in some of these factories. They're still trying to get PPE. So overall, how are they doing right now?
They're struggling. Yeah. The garment workers are most definitely struggling with a couple of different scenarios. They're struggling either with complete unemployment or underemployment. As businesses have been reopening and, it's getting sort of rebounding little by little, but it's taking some time. So there's some underemployment. And because of that, workers are experiencing food insecurity. A needs assessment of our membership showed us that 75% of our members are facing food insecurity and would not have enough food were we not doing a biweekly food distribution.
So you're doing food distribution.
We are. Our organization is collaborating with partners and donors.
You know, Marissa, right. Sorry to cut you off. We're almost out of time. You know, the thing that is just, I don't know what word to use. Okay, Ross is one of the companies that workers are making clothing for. Last year, they had revenues of $16 billion. According to Yahoo, their CEO, Barbara Rentler, makes $12 million a year. And yet the people making the clothes have to rely on your organization for food?
That's right. That's absolutely right. That is the level of exploitation and disparity that exists in this industry. That is absolutely right.
And this is California, a state run by Democrats. William and Belvedere, we don't have time to take your call, William, but he wants to know who's in the pocket of the garment industry. You know, what legislators voted against this? Why didn't they take it up?
Yeah, I will say we had opposition from the chambers of commerce. Certainly there's concern, at a time when the pandemic is hitting businesses, should we put more burdens on businesses? Again, we had the support of 55 businesses, including prominent brands like Reformation and Fashion Nova. And I just think it's really important for us to remember that we can't require workers to bolster business through their own exploitation. That is not going to rebound an economy. That is not going to make any industry a thriving industry if we only keep it afloat by stealing workers' wages. That is not a thriving community. Both can happen. We can both rebuild this economy, rebuild this industry, and pay workers fairly. And that's all workers are asking. They are only asking for the minimum wage. And so, again, that's the reason they're saying, we know that this is the right choice. We know that it's the right time to bring this forward. It's going to help both workers and small business. That's level of playing field. And let's get workers paid.
Okay, so again, they're asking for the minimum wage, which in
all they're asking for.
LA is what, $13 an hour?
In Los Angeles, it's $14.25 to $15, depending on the size of the factory. It varies. If you're over 26 employees or more, then you pay $15 an hour.
In one minute, we're almost out of time. Why aren't these companies required to pay the minimum wage today without a law? I know that Ross goes through another company. That's what they always do. So these third parties, why aren't they required to pay the minimum wage right now?
You know, that's the frustrating thing. the immediate employer, the factory boss, absolutely is required to pay the local minimum wage, but they just don't. They just absolutely don't do it. They pay on a piece rate, and they basically gamble that they're going to get away with it, that they won't be inspected by a labor enforcement agency, that they won't, you know, be sued or have a wage claim filed against them. It's so pervasive in the industry that sort of a culture, it's an entrenched culture of doing this. And then because the fashion brands can get away with it and there's that gap in the law that doesn't hold them liable, it really creates this system of a weakness in monitoring the supply chain.
Well, we're definitely going to do a follow-up. We've invited Ross. They never got back to us, but we're going to have to bring legislators on to find out why this is allowed to happen. Marissa Nuncio is director of the Garment Worker Center. Thank you so much for joining us. And thank you for joining us. I'm Rose Aguilar. It's your call.